Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the 5 o'clock news on Highland Radio. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines this evening. The Saoilte Hospital Group says that Letterkenny University Hospital remains under great pressure due to record numbers of patients attending the emergency department. The first batch of COVID vaccines purchased from Romania has arrived in Ireland. It formed part of the largest weekly delivery of vaccines to the country. The Foreign Affairs Minister says he's reasonably confident Irish citizens stuck in Afghanistan will be home within a few days. But the Donegal Intercultural Platform has expressed fears of a catastrophe in the country. The group says it is deeply concerned by recent developments following the takeover by the Taliban, and particularly in relation to the impact on women and girls. We'll have those stories in full and more, as well as the latest in sport, coming up for you within the next half hour. Back to our main stories now this evening. And the Saoilte Hospital Group says that Letterkenny University Hospital remains under great pressure due to the record number of patients attending the LUH emergency department, as well as a lack of beds available for patients in the hospital once they are admitted to it. With more, here's Anya McGlinchey with a report.
A Saoilte statement yesterday evening says that recent pressure on staff and resources at the Letterkenny University Hospital is continuing. They claim that there is a significant return of patients to the hospital and that the emergency department is still reaching record high levels of attendance. Their statement comes as over 30 people were waiting on a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. 11 people were waiting on a bed in the emergency department, while a further 20 were waiting on wards elsewhere in the hospital. Saoilte say the main pressure point comes from a lack of bed availability in the hospital, and that means that emergency department patients are now facing long waits to be transferred from the ED to another area of the hospital. Their statement yesterday evening is urging the public to only attend the emergency department at LUH if they require emergency medical treatment, and to contact their local GP surgery or now doc service if it is not an urgent matter.
1,345 COVID-19 cases have been confirmed in the north in the past 24 hours. There have also been 11 additional COVID-related deaths reported in Northern Ireland today. 394 patients are now being treated for the disease in hospitals in the north, with 49 of those in ICU. The first batch of COVID vaccines purchased from Romania has now arrived in Ireland. It's formed part of the largest weekly delivery of vaccines to the country so far. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says 540,000 doses were received today. However, an immunologist says those with compromised immune systems should be prioritised for a booster vaccine. Dr. Elizabeth Ryan from the University of Limerick says it's too soon for the wider population to be considered for an additional jab.
We should not roll out a population-wide booster campaign just yet. I don't think there's any need for that. And the vast majority of our vaccine supply should go to people in other countries where they have limited access vaccines. That just really makes sense.
The Foreign Affairs Minister says he's reasonably confident Irish citizens stuck in Afghanistan will be home within a few days. The government is making arrangements for 33 people, including 8 children, to travel home on military flights. Minister Simon Coveney claims EU member states will pressure the Taliban to abide by international law and protect their population.
The EU will do what it can to apply as much pressure as possible in that regard, but let's not be naive here. We are dealing with, we don't even know who we're dealing with, first of all, in terms of individual leadership. But we are dealing with a Taliban leadership that certainly in the past has been incredibly brutal.
Along with efforts to get Irish citizens home from Afghanistan, the government is facing calls to accept more refugees than it has already committed to take. Casey O'Riordan has more.
The number of Irish citizens seeking the government's help in returning home from Afghanistan has increased from 23 to 33 in the space of 24 hours and includes 8 children. Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney says the government is working with EU countries and the UK on securing space on military flights for the citizens, but says Kabul Airport is still quite chaotic.
People will not be left behind because of that partnership and cooperation. That said, we have to wait until the airport is secure enough to be able to do that. And that's why this may take a little longer.
Ireland has put the wheels in motion to accept 195 Afghan refugees, but the Irish Refugee Council and Amnesty International Ireland is calling on the government to take at least 1,000. Colm O'Gorman of Amnesty International says the figure wasn't plucked out of the sky.
There were pre-existing commitments in 2020 and 2021 that have not been met for 1,350 refugees to be brought to Ireland. We're saying the government should immediately pledge those spaces to Afghans who urgently need protection.
Minister Coveney says he would like the government to do more, but it has to be planned for properly.
Meanwhile, the Donegal Intercultural Platform has expressed fears of a catastrophe unfolding in Afghanistan. The group says it is deeply concerned by recent developments in the country following the Taliban takeover, particularly in relation to the impacts on women and girls. In a statement, they say those living in Donegal fear for the safety and security of their families in Afghanistan. The Donegal Intercultural Platform is calling on the Irish government to do what it can to ensure international aid continues to be available to Afghans, as well as support for Afghan refugees who are arriving in the country. A Cork North Central TD has called for the establishment of a cross-border technological university in the northwest region. Cork Deputy Colin Burke says that such a university would symbolise the importance of north-south cooperation, and also said it could be a gateway for students from both north and south of the border to experience different regions within the island of Ireland through link-ups with southern unis like University College Cork. He says his interest in the northwest and cross-border cooperation, especially as it pertains to education, stems from when, during his time as Lord Mayor of Cork in 2004, the city awarded late John Hume the freedom of Cork City, and he proposes that any Northwest Technological University be named in Hume's honour.
I proposed that there would be a Northwest University developed. When I was Lord Mayor of Cork back in 2004, one of the jobs I did was that our city council awarded the late John Hume the freedom of Cork City, and I suppose it was in that context that I suggested over 12 months ago, I think it was this time last year, that there would be a university set up in the northwest called the John Hume Memorial University. And taking on from there, then, you know, there's been ongoing discussions about setting up a technological university in the northwest, and I think that's extremely welcome, and I think it's obviously important that and is continuing to progress.
High rents and student fees are being blamed for a steep rise in the cost of going to college, particularly in large cities in Ireland. It's estimated that students living away from home in Dublin could have to fork out nearly €14,000 over the next academic year. That's up from €2,000 from 2019 to 2020's figures. The estimate from Technological University Dublin also includes the €3,000 plus student contribution charge every student must pay. Mark O'Donnell, the president of the college's student union, explains what needs to change for students in cities.
We've been campaigning that with the government that the fees are too high, and also the SUSE grant hasn't increased, even though the cost of living in Dublin in terms of rent, in terms of food, even transport is expensive for students. So we would say that maybe we need to look at fees, we need to look at the SUSE grant, and the rental situation in Dublin is really, really problematic for everyone in Dublin, but for students it's very, very difficult.
COVID supports are to remain in place for those working in live events until restrictions on the industry have been removed. Representatives for the sector, which has effectively been shut for over a year, earlier met with Arts Minister Catherine Martin, calling for a clear roadmap on when they'll be able to reopen. Sunil Sharp from the Give Us the Night campaign says this is expected to be published by the end of the month.
There is a feeling that there could be maybe a phased reopening, so when that would start and when that would actually end in terms of full capacity events, it still seems unclear. But what we do know now is that there are a number of other meetings to come with the Cabinet COVID subcommittee, and then there'll also be a Cabinet meeting as well towards the end of next week.
The Irish Medical Organisation says it's gravely concerned about children eating cannabis jellies. Six children have been admitted to Temple Street Hospital in Dublin this year after eating large quantities of them. Some of them required intensive care in what's being described as a new phenomenon in Ireland. Donegal doctor Dennis McCauley from the IMO says products can seriously damage a child's health and even kill them.
First of all, there's an immediate effect on their actual level of consciousness, their level of coordination, so there can be inappropriate accidents and so forth. In excessive use, there can be unconsciousness and death. And once again, in the chronic use, a child's brain, it doesn't mature really until they're in their early 20s. And any exposure to cannabis can have long-term psychological effects.
A security alert in the Cairnhill area of Derry has been declared a hoax. Police responded to a report yesterday evening of a suspicious object found outside a business premises. Police, along with ammunition technical officers, attended the scene, and a number of houses were evacuated while the object was examined. Police are appealing for anyone who witnessed anything suspicious yesterday to call them on 101. The National Gum Litter Task Force campaign for Donegal has been officially launched. The initiative aims to develop and implement awareness to reduce gum litter in a sustainable way. Since the beginning of the campaign in 2007, the proportion of gum as litter has decreased by a significant 64%. Kyra Locke of the Donegal County Council, Councillor Jack Murray, says the campaign will enhance the great work being done by Tidy Towns committees across the county.
It's been officially launched again this year after a delay because of COVID last year, but I was very, very happy and proud to weigh in behind the campaign this year. It's been very effective since it was first launched. And indeed, the proportion of gum as part of our litter since the campaign began has been reduced by some 64%. So that can only help improve our towns and villages and assist the fantastic work of our Tidy Towns groups. And as we launched the campaign this year, I was with the members of Buncrana Tidy Towns, who are an absolute credit to our community. And so anything that we can do to help their job, make their job easier and improve how our towns and villages look, can only be a very, very positive thing.
And indeed, this campaign has shifted the perception of people that gum is actually litter and that they're more proactive themselves in reducing this.
Absolutely. There's been surveys done that shows that there's just been a huge increase in awareness where more and more people will consider, I think it's 88% of people now will consider gum to be litter and now choose to dispose of it responsibly rather than just spitting it out in the ground in our scenic area. So it's a very, very positive thing. It's having a real impact, and again, we can only keep continuing to push awareness, and our towns, our villages, our beaches will all be better for it.
Slow progress is being made in reforming the nursing home sector after the COVID crisis, according to a lobby group. This time last year, an expert panel made 86 recommendations, many with timelines of no longer than 18 months. Over 2,000 nursing home residents have died after contracting COVID-19 in the Republic so far in the pandemic. Ty Daly from Nursing Homes Ireland says many of the recommendations are now stagnant due to government inaction.
The key structural reforms that we speak of in terms of the integration of the sector, in terms of the resourcing of the sector, and in terms of the whole workforce planning, they need a significant focus, and we are concerned that, I suppose, the focus has shifted from the sector because we're in a much better place now, and we cannot allow that to happen.
It's 12 minutes past five. We'll take a quick break. Sport is coming up after this.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
We're coming up on a quarter past five. That means it's time for sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with soccer. Ange Postecoglou admits he's glad there's no longer an away goal rule ahead of Celtic's first leg off the Europa League playoff against AZ Alkmaar. UEFA got rid of the regulation this season. It was previously used to determine the winner of a knockout competition when both teams scored the same number of goals over two matches. Postecoglou says it allows them to play with more freedom.
Kind of suits my philosophy all around, mate. I would have banned them years ago. You know, it kind of encourages us to just keep going for it right till the end, you know, and not worry too much about what away goals may or may not mean. And from our perspective, as I said, I think it's something that we can benefit from.
Arsenal are closing in on a permanent deal for Real Madrid's Martin Odegaard. The Norwegian playmaker spent the second half of last season on loan at the Emirates. Odegaard is likely to set Arsenal back around €40 million. Harry Kane has not travelled with Tottenham to Portugal for their Europa Conference League playoff against Paços de Ferreira. The striker will instead remain in London to work on his fitness. Kane, of course, has been linked with the move to Manchester City and only returned to training last week following his summer break. Former Republic of Ireland under 19 manager Paul Doolan is the new man in charge at Athlone Town. The ex Drogheda and Cork City boss takes over from Adrian Carberry, who left the club yesterday. Athlone are sixth in the First Division after a run of 1-1 in 10 matches. Peamount United are out of the Champions League after a 5-2 defeat against the champions of Serbia, Spartak Subotic. Were 5-0 up in the Netherlands by the 62nd minute. But Peamount did grab a couple of goals back in the game, but have lost out in that clash, which was played this morning. One game tonight, the Donegal Youth League, Milford to go on Swilly Rovers. That one kicks off at 7 o'clock. In Gaelic Games, there's also a match tonight in Division 1 of the All-County League. Beaten Donegal Senior Championship finalists Kilcar are taking on Bundoran. That one's due to start in Towny at 8 o'clock this evening. There's also a Junior Hurling Championship clash with McCool's up against Letterkenny Gaels starting at 8 as well. The All-Ireland Under-20 Hurling Final takes place this evening. gets underway at 7:30 in Thurles as Galway and Cork go head to head in the big decider. Galway haven't won a national title at under 20 level in a decade. Now, by the end of this week, Cork could be in possession of the under 20, minor, and senior All-Ireland titles. Professional golfers and indeed celebrities have been gathering ahead of the Irish Legends event at the Rosapenna Hotel and Golf Resort. It starts with a pro-am tomorrow Thursday, followed by three rounds of competition. This will be the first of two runs with the Legends at the Downings venue. It's under strict restrictions for the weekend because of COVID. Host Paul McGinley says they have big plans for next year.
What's the DNA of what an Irish Open should be? And I think it's linked to the character and people that we are in Ireland. What I tried to do in Lahinch was create a festival and then insert the golf into the middle of it. And that's what I was trying to do when I took over this event pre-COVID. That's what I was going to do in Donegal. We were going to have the same thing. It was in the town of Downings. And we were going to have the banter, and we were going to have the music and the festival and all the stuff that we had down in Lahinch. But obviously COVID has curtailed that to a large extent. We had to cancel the tournament last year during COVID, and we're getting it ahead this year, but as I say, under incredibly strict restrictions. So I won't be able to do what we really want to do. So fingers crossed, we are coming back next year. Hopefully this time next year, we're going to be in a better place and we can kind of put those ideas in place.
And snooker Fergal Brian is the latest Irish player to suffer a first round exit at the British Open. The Dubliner was whitewashed 3-0 by Gary Wilson. Later, Mark Allen returns to the table for a second round encounter with Hossein Vallely. And Jordan Brown goes up against David Lilly. Finally, the Japanese Grand Prix has been cancelled due to the rise of COVID cases in the country. The organisers say the decision was made because of complexities of the pandemic and that Formula One is working on details of a revised calendar. The race was due to take place in October. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now. And today is officially Love Donegal Day 2021. People are being urged to take part and showcase what they love about the county by using the hashtag Love Donegal and by posting their favourite photos of the county on social media. Last year saw the campaign showcasing the county to millions of people worldwide. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, this year's Mary from Dunloe, Alana McGlynn, and Letterkenny Chamber President Michael Margy urged people to get involved.
This is Donegal. This is what we're about. It's a great place to live and work. It's a great place to be reared, to raise children, to study in. It's just somewhere that I love personally, so I'm delighted to wear the crown today.
And what an amazing place Donegal is to live in. You know, it's the fourth largest county in Ireland. You could fit two or three other counties into Donegal if you were to try and squeeze them in. It's a really, really huge place, and I think it's been called the coolest place on the planet. It has the most scenic airport in the world. I mean, Donegal is one huge outdoor activity and leisure park for people who like that, and I think it has natural stunning beauty that's out there as well, and it has fantastic people and community and art, so it is a really, really great mix. And I think the council campaign has really got that together, which is the big five that they're selling, which is to live, to work, to study, to invest and visit. And it's about all that related together. It's not just one big thing. It's the whole package that Donegal offers. And I think there is an opportunity now coming out of the pandemic, really for people outside Donegal who are from Donegal or not Donegal to look to move back permanently, to look to have holidays and more staycations here in Donegal. So I think it's a bright future, and really for everybody in Donegal, get the flag up high today, as high as you can, and let's keep it as going for as long as we can.
Almost €17,000 in funding has been dedicated to fisheries conservation in Donegal by Inland Fisheries Ireland and the government. The Ross's Anglers Association has received the funding in order to aid river habitat enhancement measures in the Dunloe catchment area, which are aiming to help salmon spawning and nursery in the area. Their funding is a part of over three quarters of €1 million, which is allocated to the fishing industry by Inland Fisheries Ireland in their 2021 Habitats and Conservation Scheme. And 153,000 people received the pandemic unemployment payment this week. That's down 3% on the previous 7-day figure. More than €45 million was paid out by the Department of Social Protection. Donegal, Dublin and Cork had the highest number of people who closed their claims, while Longford, Leitrim and Carlow had the least. Almost half of those who stopped receiving the payment work in the accommodation and food services sector. 4,540 people in Donegal have received the payment this week. That's down 4% on last week's figures. And finally, Sean Locke's been called a true original in both comedy and life, following his death at the age of 58. The legendary British comedian passed away today after previously being diagnosed with cancer. Many have paid tribute to him, including comedian Ross Noble, who called him the best of the best. He was perhaps best known for his role as team captain on Channel 4 panel show 8 out of 10 Cats and its Countdown spin-off.
I won't lie to you, I don't like doing Countdown. Why lie? What's the point of lying? I feel like a polar bear trapped in a tiny cage. Up and down, up and down. Why do I have to play Countdown?
And now the weather. There'll be some sunny spells and an otherwise cloudy day the rest of the evening. It'll feel cool with highest temperatures of 15 to 17 degrees. This evening's headlines once again. The Saoilte Hospital Group says that Letterkenny University Hospital remains under great pressure due to the record number of patients attending the emergency department, as well as a lack of beds available in the rest of the hospital. The first batch of COVID vaccines purchased from Romania has arrived in Ireland. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says 540,000 doses were received today. 1,345 new COVID-19 cases have been confirmed in the north in the last 24 hours. There have also been 11 additional COVID-related deaths reported in Northern Ireland today. And the Foreign Affairs Minister says he's reasonably confident Irish citizens stuck in Afghanistan will be home within a few days. The government is making arrangements for 33 people, including 8 children, to travel home on military flights. Meanwhile, the government is facing calls to dramatically increase the number of refugees it's committing to take, from 195 to at least 1,000. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll have headlines again for you at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Wednesday afternoon, August the 18th. The death has occurred of David Moore, Letter League, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in the family home tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m, with interment afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Conwell Parish Church or Medical 2, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Conmacdade funeral director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Deirdre Barber, Nee Toland, Cockhill Road, Buncrana, formerly of Irish. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Removal from there at 10:15 a.m. on Friday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people. The death has taken place of Jeremiah Jerry McElhinney. Funeral from his home, 8 Moyglass Place, Strathfoyle, tomorrow morning at 10:10 a.m. for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ishakeen. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Peter Ruddy, Drumard Drumcarbot Mallon, formerly of Levensham, Manchester. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this afternoon, going to his home. Funeral from his home on Friday morning at 10:15 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan, Culdaff, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Peter's funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. Family flowers only, please, if desired, donations to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Michael McMenamin, Alt Upper, Castlefin. The Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow at 12 noon in St Columba's Church, Dunnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to HSE and government restrictions, the house is private and the Requiem Mass is restricted to 50 people only. The Mass will be streamed live via the parish streaming service. The death has occurred of George Doherty, Knock, Ballybuffet. Funeral leaving his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Sessionil, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at facebook.com/St Mary's Sessionil. In compliance with current government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial will be strictly private to the immediate family only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has occurred of Bridget Grant, Ballynakilly, Churchill. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Cornwall Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the oncology unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Con McDade Funeral Director, Letterkenny.